Our first lesson this evening comes from Jeremiah chapter 26. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate, without inhabitant'?" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priest and the prophet said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord has sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as far as me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon the city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm tonight is Psalm 27, and you'll need your Lutheran Book of Worship. It is found in the front section on page 227. Psalm 27 on page 227. And we'll read it responsively. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear?
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?
When evildoers came upon me to eat up my flesh,
it was they, my foes and my adversaries, who stumbled and fell.
Though an army should encamp against me,
yet my heart shall not be afraid.
And though war should rise up against me,
yet will I put my trust in him.
One thing I have asked of the Lord,
one thing I seek. Dwell in the house of the Lord in the days of my life,
to behold the fair beauty of the Lord,
and to seek him in his temple.
For in the day of trouble he shall keep me safe in his shelter.
He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling, and set me high upon a rock.
Even now he lifts up my head
above my enemies round about me.
Therefore I will offer in his dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness.
I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hearken to my voice, O Lord, when I call.
Have mercy on me and answer me.
You speak in my heart and say, "Seek my face."
Your face, Lord, will I seek.
Hide not your face from me,
nor turn away your servant in displeasure.
You have been my helper. Cast me not away.
Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
Though my father and my mother forsake me,
the Lord will sustain me.
Show me your way, O Lord.
Lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Deliver me not into the hands of my adversaries.
For false witnesses have risen up against me, and also those who speak malice.
What if I had not believed that I should see the goodness of the Lord
in the land of the living?
Oh, tarry and await the Lord's pleasure. Be strong, and he shall comfort your heart.
Wait patiently for the Lord.
Our New Testament reading, our epistle for tonight, is from Philippians chapter 3. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated, and I invite the kids that are present to come forward for a children's message. You're all out of breath, huh? Well, do you remember what we talked about last week? I'll give you a hint. Red ink. We talked about red ink and how teachers sometimes use it to make corrections or to put grades on a paper or something.
Red.
Yeah, red. You've got red on. Look it. Anyway, we talked about the Bible has red ink in it too, but not because there's lots of mistakes or corrections, but because in 1899 somebody said, "Wouldn't it be great if we took all the words of Jesus and we put them in red ink and had a red-letter Bible?" So all of the red-lettered words in the Bible are words from the mouth of Jesus. Tonight, I want you to think about a big word that's called imitation. Have you ever heard the word imitation?
No.
You've never heard the word imitation? Yeah, imitation, it means like a copy. In other words, you might say, "Hope, I want to be just like Scarlett," or "I want to wear my hair just like Nora," or "I want to wear shoes that look just like my sister's shoes." That's called copying. Sometimes we call it copycat, right? A copycat? Let me give you an example. Copy whatever I say, okay?
Meow.
Meow.
Okay. Oink, 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 oink. Roof, roof. Moo. Okay, was that a perfect copy? You couldn't exactly imitate my voice. It was close, but even my voice was not the real thing. I was just imitating some animal sounds, right? Okay, in the Bible, the Apostle Paul says, we need to imitate Jesus. That means we need to copy Jesus or to be like Jesus with what he says and with what he does. Now, copying can be a good thing if you're copying a good behavior or a good person, right? Would it be a good thing to copy somebody's homework or to copy somebody's answers on a test? That could be called cheating or stealing. Would it be a good thing if somebody had some money and you said, you know, I think that if we put this on a copier machine in color, we could make some of our own money and go into the store and buy things. Would that copying be good? It's called counterfeit, right? And you can go to jail for that, right? Yeah, so when we're told in the Bible that we're supposed to be copycats or imitators, there's good things to imitate and bad things that we don't want to imitate, right? So we need to always watch it, especially if we've got like little sisters, what we're saying or what we're doing, because they might start copying us. And we don't want people to copy our bad words or our bad decisions. We want them to copy our good decisions and our good words so that they can be just like Jesus, right? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, help me to copy you. Help me to be an imitation. To love like you. To walk like you. And to live like you. Amen. Thanks for coming up. I was watching an episode on the internet, on my computer, a couple of days ago, and it was a father trying to teach his daughter about what it means to be an imitation, or to imitate Jesus. And so he said, I want you to copy me. And he said, I've got two decks of cards. And so he said, here's my deck of cards, and here's your deck of cards. And he took his out of the box, and his daughter took hers out of the box. He said, that's good, you're copying me. And then he said, now do whatever I do. So he cut his cards in half, and she cut her deck in half. And then he said, okay, now put the other one on top. He said, see what I'm doing? And she did the same thing. He said, now look in there, he said, and pick out a card, because that's what he had just done. And you're copying me, right? So he picked out a card, and then she did the same. Then he put his cards, the card that he picked, over to the side, then put it back in. She did the same thing. And then he handed her his deck of cards, and she handed him her deck of cards. And then he said, okay, she cut the deck, and kind of flipped through, and she flipped through it. And he said, do you see the card that you picked before in my deck of cards? He said, I'm going to pick the card that I picked before, and I want you to do the same thing. She did. And then put the card back in, and put the deck over to the side, and he said, okay. He said, let's get our cards again. So he gave her original deck, and she gave him his, and long and the short of it is that he said, okay, now take the card that you picked before out of the deck, because that's what he did. He put it over there, she did it, and he said, now let's see how good you were at copying me, because it looked like you were really copying me well. And he flipped over his card, and it was red, and it was a 10. And she flipped over her card, because she was copying, and it was red, and it was a 10. But his was a 10 of diamonds, and hers was a 10 of hearts. You see, as close as we try to get to Jesus, to imitate him, to be like him, to copy him, we always come up short. So I thank God for that promise that we get in 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, we are God's children right now, and we know that when Christ appears, we will be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in Christ purifies themselves as he is pure. So we copy Jesus, his words, and his way of living. In fact, in the first century, it was considered an honor and a privilege if a rabbi would say, Gene, follow me. Arnie, follow me. I mean, if you got selected to be a student of a rabbi, that was really big-time stuff. And then it was the job of the student to emulate or to copy their teacher, their master. So they learned to eat like their teacher and to walk like their teacher. And they learned to do everything like their teacher. In fact, the student would follow the rabbi so close that when the rabbi was walking in those dusty, dirty roads and the dust would kick up, they would be covered in the dust of their teacher. And that's where the phrase came from, caked in the dust of the rabbi. To be just like someone else. A close approximation, not an intentional counterfeit, but always coming up short in this life. Our citizenship, Paul says, is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior who will transform our lowly bodies into his glorious body. What Paul says to the Philippians is precisely what St. John said in his first epistle. In this life, we make it our goal to be like Jesus in every way. And because we're sinners, we come up short. But we live under the promise that when God has completed us, finished us, then sin will be completely gone, and we will be perfectly complete as our Lord and Savior Jesus is perfect and complete. It was in 1988 that a pastor by the name of Mark Thompson had his home violated. An intruder, a thief, bearing a big knife. Now, Pastor Mark Thompson was able to protect his wife and his kids from harm, but he encountered several stab wounds. He was taken to the hospital, and he was recovering. And then he called in his brother, Merv. And Merv Thompson is also a pastor. At that time, in 1988, Mark was serving in Faribault, Minnesota. And as he was recovering, he was grieving the fact that he was not going to be able to be at his son Chris's cross-country meet, state championship cross-country, and his son was a senior in high school. So he said to his brother, Merv, he said, Merv, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go to my son Chris's cross-country state championship meet. He's your nephew, but I need you to do something for me. I need you to copy me, to imitate me. In other words, at the beginning, you need to be hollering your head off and shouting, yes, go, Christopher, go. You can get this. You can win this. Just go crazy, because that's what I would do for my son. And then periodically, 2-3 times during the race, you need to be able to say, keep going, buddy, keep going, keep moving. Yes, you're doing it. Go crazy, because that's what I would do. And then at the very end, you need to be there, and you need to be able to say, a little bit further, come on, yes, yes, yes. Because that's what I would do. When my son Christopher hears your voice, he needs to hear my voice. And so Merv did that, cheered on his nephew as though he was the voice of Christopher's father. And Christopher ended up taking second place in the cross-country state championship. And then, because Mark was a pastor, but his brother Merv was also a pastor, Merv started thinking about this whole thing of being someone else's voice. And he thought, that's what Jesus is asking us to do. That's what Jesus has commissioned us to do. Jesus is saying, your voice needs to be my voice. When people hear your words, they need to hear my words. When people see the way you live, they need to know that that's the way I live. Be imitators, Paul says. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us. That's Ephesians chapter 5. And then Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And so it doesn't surprise us that, again, in his letter to the church at Philippi, that Paul says the same thing. Join, brothers and sisters, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk in accordance with the example you have at us. Well, if you're going to copy somebody, you want to make sure that they are in fact caked in the dust of Rabbi Jesus. In other words, you want to make sure that they are intentionally imitating Jesus so that when you copy them, you are in fact copying the example of Christ himself. Perhaps you remember these words. We'll actually sing them tonight in our dismissal hymn. Let us ever walk with Jesus, follow his example pure, through a world that would deceive us, and to sin our spirits lure. Onward in his footsteps treading, pilgrims here, our home above, full of faith and hope and love, let us do our Father's bidding, faithful Lord, with me abide, I will follow where you guide. It's all about walking. And what we hear in our lessons for tonight is we can walk in faithfulness or faithlessness. We can either walk on that narrow path of Christ, or we can walk on a wide path. That we can either have our God be, Paul says, the God of the belly. In other words, we follow simply our fleshly cravings and appetites, or we can be children of the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can either be enemies of the cross, Paul says, or we can be beloved friends of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But there are two ways of walking. We either walk in the dust of Jesus, or we walk in the dust of the devil. We're all going to be imitating or copying someone or something. Do you want it to be the real McCoy or a cheap imitation? That's the question. Now, I love Philippians because it's called Paul's epistle of joy. And I love the letter to the Philippians because Paul is under house arrest. He's in jail in a rat-infested prison. And they've tried to muzzle him, to shut him up and shut him down. But instead, they've given him a megaphone. In fact, he says in this short little letter, the gospel is advancing. In spite of Satan's best treachery or attempts to seduce and tempt, he's not able to destroy God's kingdom. God always wins. We saw that last week, for example, in the temptation stories of Jesus when he stood on the word of God. And then Paul says to the Philippians, be imitators. Do what Jesus did. Stand firm. Well, stand firm on what? We know, for example, that on the second missionary journey, when St. Paul went, commissioned by the Holy Spirit, with his partner, Silas, the two of them were missionary partners, that they went to Philippi in Macedonia, which was a colony of the Roman Empire, where a lot of retired military lived, a city that was full of Roman citizens, because in Paul's day, citizenship meant everything. In fact, Paul says in his writings repeatedly that he is a Roman citizen, and with citizenship comes rights, privileges, responsibilities, duties. So Paul is in Philippi, in Macedonia, because the Spirit has sent him there, and you know the story. He meets Lydia and some women that are praying down by the river. She comes to faith in Jesus. She gets baptized and becomes a benefactor of the gospel. And then Paul and Silas, day after day, go back to that same spot and keep preaching the gospel. But remember that slave girl? She's just a nuisance. She's an annoyance. She's constantly barking after him, right? And finally, Paul has enough, and he says, out of her! She had a spirit of divination, and she brought her masters lots of currency. And now, the demon had been cast out, and she was free. That's good news, right? Well, not to her masters, who agitated the crowds, and eventually, you know what happens in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas get beaten to a pulp with rods, thrown into prison, into the inner cell. their legs are in stocks, they're in chains. And that's why Paul will say to the Philippians, but God's word is not fettered. You can't chain up the gospel. At 12 o'clock midnight, do you recall what Paul and Silas are doing? They're leading the other prisoners in a prayer service, in a hymn sing. They're worshiping God. When everything around them is collapsing and falling apart, they are saying, we're not going to take our eyes off of the Lord. And they're singing up a storm. They're praying up a storm, and all of a sudden, there's this huge earthquake, remember? It rocks and shakes the foundations of the prison, and all the cell doors and chains come off. And the jailkeeper, who's responsible for the prisoners, he knows that he's toast, and so he takes his sword. He's about to commit suicide. And Paul says, stop in the name of love, the love of Jesus. Don't do it. We're all here. Nobody's escaped. You know what happened? Paul got an opportunity to preach the gospel to this pagan. And he came to faith, and he and his whole household were baptized into the name of Jesus, and they became no longer natural-born Roman citizens, but Spirit of God, supernatural, born again from above, saved children of God in the name of Jesus. That's why Paul says to the Philippians, but your citizenship is in heaven, from which you await a Savior who's going to transform your lowly bodies, these sin-infested fleshes, into the glorious body of Christ himself. That's the good news that Paul keeps preaching and preaching. He preached it in Philippi, and now in prison he keeps writing and preaching the same gospel. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk in accordance with the example we have, the example that we are giving to you, those who follow Christ and those who are faithful. Copy that. Copy that. Citizenship. I know that's a big issue in our country. And when you research and you find out about citizenship, you know, some countries will let you have dual citizenship, two at the same time. But with citizenship, whether you're natural born in this land and automatically become a citizen with certain rights and privileges, like due process of law, like serving on a jury, like voting, you know, once you get either naturalized citizenship or you have natural born citizenship in our country, you can't lose it, except if you commit treason or decide to exchange or owe your allegiance to another nation or power. In other words, you can't lose your citizenship unless you disavow it. I think that's what Paul's getting at when he writes to the Philippians. Don't disavow your citizenship, your real citizenship, the citizenship that you got when you were birthed again from above, John chapter 3, when you were born again of water and the Holy Spirit. Don't disavow it. Why? Because our citizenship here on earth lasts for how long? Maybe 100 years if you're lucky, or if you're not so lucky. You see, it's temporary. No matter what citizenship we have and the rights and privileges with it here in this land, in this time and place, it's just temporary because we're mortal and we're going to die. But your citizenship, Paul says, is in heaven, and you got it by faith in Jesus Christ. Did you hear what Paul is saying in Philippians? I mean, read the whole four chapters. It's a real quick read, but Paul is saying, I count it all loss. Whatever I've gained, whatever I've accumulated, all my successes, it doesn't mean anything. In fact, he says it's skubala. For the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Paul says, I've just got one ambition, one thing that I'm pursuing. I want to be just like Jesus. I want to become so close to him in his suffering, in his dying, that I can become so close to him in his rising and in his glory. So that's why Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul is pursuing the cross of Jesus. In the cross of Christ I glory, or the old rugged cross that you heard as our prelude tonight. Paul is not ashamed of the cross, but you did hear the warning, didn't you, that he has there? Be careful, because there are some who are masquerading as Christians. Be careful. There are some who are cheap imitations. They're just veneer. And worse than that, they've already decided to be caked in the dust of the devil and to serve him rather than to serve the Savior Jesus. And Paul says you don't have to look far to see those counterfeits, those who are masquerading, fakes. Oh, they might have a lot of the same words, but take a close look. And they won't pay attention to all the teachings of Jesus. They'll choose to conveniently disregard what they don't like or don't agree with. Watch out, Paul says. It's a warning he gives, because there are, and then if you caught this in our second reading, it says that Paul has tears streaming down his cheeks. I say this with tears, Paul says, that there are some who live as enemies of the cross. Well, Paul isn't venerating capital punishment, okay? He's not talking about the cross as execution. He's talking about the cross in which we see the glory of God, the enthronement of God's Son, where Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God and get saved. By faith alone, in Christ alone, through the grace of Almighty God alone. That's the good news. So watch out for those who live as enemies of the cross. Why? Well, here's their characteristics, Paul says. Everybody's got a God. You know what their God is? The belly, the flesh, cravings, appetite. That's it! And everyone has an end. Everyone, Paul says, has an end. Their end is destruction. In other words, all they've got to look forward to is hell itself, the eternal absence of God. And that breaks Paul's heart. But you have a citizenship that is out of this world. Your real citizenship, the non-negotiable citizenship, the citizenship that no one could ever take away from you, because it's bestowed by Christ alone, through faith alone, in the death and resurrection of Jesus alone. That's eternity. Remember your citizenship, Paul says. And when you remember your citizenship, well, then you'll know who it is that you want to copy or imitate, and whose words or behaviors are not something that you want to duplicate or practice. A story. Robert was surrounded by four other boys. And the four other boys, they had their hands underneath their armpits, and so their elbows became like wings, and they were squawking and going, "Muck, muck, 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 chicken, chicken." They were surrounding and taunting Robert. And finally he'd had enough and he said, "Shut up! Leave me alone! I'm not afraid! I'm not afraid of anything! I'll show you!" Well, they were standing beside a busy stretch of road with fast-flying cars. They said, "Okay, show us. And remember, Robert, you can't leave too soon, because that's part of the game. You stand here on the curb, And if you're not a chicken, then you'll wait till the last minute, and then you're going to run across to get to the other side and not get hit by the car. And Robert was scared to death. He had his legs. He thought, what if my shoes slip? And then he tore across right in front of a car, and he made it to the other side. He said, my heart was just pounding through my chest. And the other boy said, not bad for a first try. I'm not afraid of anything, Robert said. I could do this all day long. And so all afternoon, Robert and the four other boys kept darting in front of fast-speeding cars across that road. Oh, there was a couple times it was really close where you'd hear the brakes screeching, and then all of a sudden, you'd hear you'd see the swerving and, you know, the screeching sound, etc., and then there'd be the driver with the fist pound at the boys. And then Robert looked at his watch, and he thought, you know, we got to head home. It's almost supper time. He said, oh, here comes the car. He said, I get the last one. So he's there, and he wants to make this his best one of the whole day. And he waits until the very last second. And then he darts in front of it. And he somehow miraculously made it to the other side without getting hit. But you could hear the brakes screeching and the car swerving. And this blue car ended up plowing into a lamppost. And one of the older boys, he said, run! And they did. And Robert didn't stop running until he got home. And he entered the house. His mom wasn't there. And his chest was just pounding. And he thought, you know, I know first aid. I should have checked. What if somebody was hurt bad in that car? What if they died? It must have been an hour or two before Robert's mother came home. He thought, where's Mom? Where's Mom? Pretty soon, Mom came home. And he could tell that she was like kind of white as a sheet, that she was filled with worry. She said, Granny's in the hospital. We'll grab a quick bite to eat, and then we'll go see her. So they did. And Robert saw his grandma. Her leg was up in traction, her one arm all bandaged up. She was getting a blood transfusion. She looked old and frail. And then Mom, after a little bit, left to go down to the cafeteria to get some tea. And Robert was there alone with his grandmother. And she whispered a few words. And Robert couldn't hear, so he got real close. He took his grandma's hand, you know, and he got real close, and he was listening as she spoke. And grandma said, why did you do that, love? And tears came streaming down out of the eyes of Robert. And then Robert said, it wasn't my fault. They made me do it. And then Granny took his hands, and he got close again, and she spoke a second time, and she said, nobody makes us do anything. We all have a choice. You could have chosen to let those other kids squawk and pick on you. You could have chosen not to play their silly games. But that's not what you chose. And he was bawling. He said, Granny, you're going to be okay. And she said, it's going to take a lot more than this to kill this tough old bird. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ, Paul says. Stand firm in your faith. Don't venerate the God of the belly. Imitation, copying. Make sure that you're caked in the dust of Jesus and not the devil. a narrow door, a wide door? The God of the belly, or the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Let us ever walk with Jesus, follow his example pure, through a world that would deceive us, and to sin our spirits lure. Oh, Jesus, help me to remember that my citizenship is in heaven and that you're coming back to transform this lowly body into your glorious body. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.